Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me, Lord, to bring forth this message you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that ears will be unstopped and hearts will be motivated, Lord. And when all is said and done, may you be lifted up and glorified, Lord. And may we go from here rejoicing, being glad we came. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, it's been said that dogs don't have a home in heaven. But you know something? They don't have a home in hell either. And that's a good thought. So it is with animals and birds. Everything that God made except people. I guess they just don't have a soul. When they're gone, they're gone. As I mentioned, the title of the message is Lost and Found. No, it's not about puppy dogs or cats or hamsters or parakeets or budgies. No, Lost and Found is all about people like you and I and everyone else. It's about people we hate, people we love, people we don't even know anything about. Just people. We're either lost or we're found. But some people would say, well, how can you be found until you're lost? They go together, don't they? They're opposites. When it comes to the Word of God, people don't think they're lost. So they don't have to be found. The Word of God tells us we're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. When I was a Catholic, there was another place called purgatory. It doesn't exist. There's no place else to go. Up, down. You see, long before the foundation of the world, before you were even a gleam in your mama's eye, your destiny was sealed. I'd like to bring your attention to Ephesians 1. If you turn to Ephesians 1 in your Bible, please. Verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4 in your King James Bible. Which says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now just slip down to verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Shuffle down a little bit more to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed. Keep that word in the back of your mind, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Promise. Read it over a couple of times, and the more I read it anyway, the more I understand it, the more impact it has on me. And when it finds its way deep down in your soul, you'll appreciate it a lot more. Two very important words many people fail to understand in the Scripture. And I know because I used to fail in this area as well. They are foreknew and predestinated. Foreknew and predestinated. They're not used often, every day. but they're very important to the Christian and to those would-be Christians. Simply put, I ask you to listen carefully to this. God foreknew who would repent and believe in the gospel. God foreknew this. Yes, he did. So, because he foreknew, way back before the foundation of the world, that's a long way. Then he also, and here's the key, he also did predestinate. Let me put it this way. God knew that yours truly would repent one day. Turn from being a skeptic to a believer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Likewise, God also knew way back then that a lying, no good bum like me would have a turning unto Christ. I didn't know that, but he knew. And now you got to hear me out, because he, God, knew, because he knew rather, then guess what? Because he knew then, he predestinated me and you and all believers. You see, there's no predestination that's worth anything to us unless it's in God's foreknowledge. I mean, it's not like people say, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. That's a terrible attitude. But in a way, you can't blame people for taking it, because that's the way it is. But it's not because God doesn't want you to be saved. You see, God steps out of this picture and he knows all, a way back before you existed, that you would be saved. To some it sounds a little complicated, but it's not. Foreknowledge comes before predestination. Because he knew, then he predestinated us. For whom, it says in the scriptures, in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now, I know what you're thinking. If God foreknew I was going to be saved, then why not that I would also backslide? And if he knew I would backslide, then why did he save me in the first place? Well, the answer is simple. God's not willing that any should perish. And first of all, we must realize if we were not saved, then it would be impossible. And here's the whole key. If we were not saved, it would be impossible for us to backslide. You see, only a believer can backslide. The non-believers are always sliding. But to be saved and to not obey the word of God or have issue with it in any way is to backslide. It comes in all with different words and phrases and understandings. Now why? Because we'd have nothing to, as I just said, to backslide from. You can't go down a slide in a park unless you start at the top, right? And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're at the top. And the only way from there is down. And I don't mean down to hell, because once saved, always saved. And is this not the very reason why Jesus went to the cross? There's no other reason. Why would he go and suffer for someone like me? I don't understand it all. One day I will. But he did it for you too. He did it for the whole world. That's not hard to understand what he did. What's hard for most people is to accept what he did. Anybody can understand it. It's just, I don't know. I have a problem with it. Not only to save us from our sins of the past, but also save us from our sins of today and the future. As long as we're in this flesh, knowing that the flesh is weak, guess what? We will continue to sin. Saved or not, we will continue to sin. Now this explains why we are given new bodies. New bodies. But only when we're taken up to glory. We don't get new bodies on the earth, right? If we die today, suddenly, our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes up to be in glory. And when Jesus returns in the raptures, as you all know, our bodies are lifted out of the grave, changed like unto his glorious body, and lifted up to be in his presence. And there shall we ever be. The old bodies, as you know, are tainted as we are now. We still sin. And we cannot enter into the presence of a holy and righteous God until we are changed. That's the body I'm speaking of. We need to put on our new bodies. Sometimes I would like to put on a new body anyway, but I'm stuck with this old body. And as the days go by, it gets a little weaker. But there's one thing that doesn't get weaker. It's exactly the opposite. It gets stronger. And that's my love for Christ. My love for Christ. Grow stronger every day. When we, the saved in Christ, die, as I alluded to, our fleshly bodies go to the grave, but our soul is immediately seated in the heavenlies. Now, a lot of people say, seated in the heavenlies? How can that be? That doesn't make any sense. Well, to the unbeliever, very little makes any sense. And if you can't find sense in what God's Word says, maybe you need to pray a little harder. Or just give it to God. I believe. I believe. We don't understand all things. We never will until we get home. The main thing is to believe. To believe that God is righteous. And what he says in his word is true. When the rapture occurs, Jesus comes in the air. We all know that, or we should. He does not come to the earth. A lot of people think he does. This is when the voice of the archangel will call for us to come up hither. Come up hither. It wouldn't sound very passive like that. It would probably be much louder. Come up hither! That's how you wake a church up on Sunday morning. As recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you read it, you'll see what I mean. Of course, you all know it anyway. I'm feel confident about that. At this time, the dead in Christ, that's the saved. That's us who are saved. I don't know if we're all saved here or not. God knows, and that's all that's important. The saved will be taken home to glory. And glory, of course, is in His presence. Can you imagine that? Standing before Jesus Christ in His heavenly kingdom. I don't think we can really understand that until we're there. It's just too great. It's just too difficult in the human mind to really, really accept. But that's why we have to have faith, isn't it? For by grace are we saved through faith. While it's crucial that we understand salvation and what the rapture of His church is all about, if you doubt it, you're without it. A little play on words. If you doubt it, you're without it. Salvation is so simple that even a child can understand. In Ephesians 1, verse 5, we read, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You see, as I mentioned at the outset, God foreknew that I would be saved. He foreknew that you would be saved. He foreknew. His word says in Romans 8:29, for whom He, God, did foreknow, He also did, what? Predestinate. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Doesn't mean we'll all look like Him, but we'll be like Him. This doesn't mean the exact image of Christ. Someone asked, will we be able to walk through doors and walls? Will we be just like Him? I can only go by what the Bible tells me. What Jesus did, I don't know if I will be able to do it. I don't much care. Just to be in His presence, just to look upon His face, just to be at His beck and call, to follow Him around, hear Him speak, that's enough for me. I don't need to walk through walls, fly around. I don't need that. I need what He wants for me. That's all I need. Because God foreknew I was predestinated. Because He foreknew. Because I was predestinated, I was called, according to Romans 8:30. Because I was called, here it comes, I was justified. And the topper, because I was justified, guess what? Rhymes with it. I was glorified. This is according to God's foreknowledge. If a Christian can be lost again, and a lot of people think they can, then the foreknowledge of God is without merit. Why believe anything? And God saw in his foreknowledge that Christian even glorified. Can you be unglorified? What's done is done. What Jesus has done for you cannot be altered. Once saved, always saved. I get a kick out of people who think they can lose their salvation. They never had it to begin with. One day saved, some people believe, one day saved, the next day lost. Next day saved again. Next day I did a better job today. I read my Bible. I said a prayer. I'm saved again. One day like him, the next day like the devil. One day walking through doors in your mind, the next day walking into doors in your flesh. That's something to think about. It's something I always wanted to hold fast in my mind, is this predestination and foreknowledge of Christ. I don't hear it, you know, preached much about it, because I guess maybe it, I don't know, maybe there are some people that should preach about it don't, because they're not sure, don't know enough about it, or maybe the listener is not sure what's being said. But it's so simple. Foreknowledge is simply saying, oh, I know what's going to happen. You ever walk out your door in the wintertime and you look at the step and it's full of ice, covered with ice? And you know, if you're not careful, what's going to happen, right? Slip. Down you go. Well, we can't compare ourselves to God, but his foreknowledge is just something that eludes us completely. That's where faith kicks in. He knew way back before the foundation of the world, before I was born or any of you were born or anybody was born, or the world was set the way it is, he knew who you would be, when this would come about, and if you would come to him. Now you might wonder, well, why didn't he tell somebody? Well, he did. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to let you know. He was dying for our sins, and sin can't enter into heaven. Sometimes God can be difficult to understand. That's all right. We don't have to know the end from the beginning. All we have to know is that by grace are we saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's ways are not our ways, but the way he would have us go is the way to go. And it's not hard. Some people say, I know before I got saved, I used to say, oh, I remember when I was a Catholic, mostly. I used to think, because of what the priest would tell us, don't worry about it. We have a place where you can go, it's called purgatory. When you get there, they'll straighten you out. And then, hey, you'll be all set to go to heaven. So just don't worry about it. Fine. Fine. Catherine and I, we used to, I guess, be good Catholics in a way, before we got saved. And one of the things we did was to attend dances in the Catholic social club. Now, you might say, well, what? Dances? Sounds crazy. Well, it is crazy. The reason we went and attended these dances, because we didn't know any better. And the priest said, here, these people you're coming to dance with, you're bringing them joy. They're a little bit backslidden in the mind. And they love you to come and dance with them. Once a week, we'd go. They didn't even know, most of them didn't even know who you were or why you, what you were doing. But you were bringing them some measure of joy. Well, that's not what God meant. I don't think God is pleased with that or ever will be. Anyway, when the door opened and the Holy Spirit came in, everything changed. We understood what was right, what was not. What to believe in, what to not believe in. We have to keep in mind, as I draw to the end, God's not willing that any should perish. Any. A lot of people don't understand that or want to accept that. Well, if he didn't want me to perish, if he didn't want me to go to hell, then why is he making things so difficult for me here? Why can't I stop drinking? Why can't I stop cursing? Why can't I stop doing this and doing that if it's not his will? It must be his will in a way, or he wouldn't let me do it. Read your Bible. God is not willing. That's so important, ultra important. God is not willing that any should perish. Any. No matter how vile people you know, how vile people are that you may know or may not know or read about, God never intended them to perish. Everybody's given equal opportunity. You're given the word. All you have to do is read it, believe it, and the rest will fall into place. God wants everyone to come to repentance. A lot of people, the Bible says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. A lot of people say, what's repentance have to do with it? Well, repentance means you were going that way, you turn, you go that way. You were thinking like that, so now you're thinking his way. You can't just say, okay, I repent and I believe. I'm ready. But what's your heart say? What's your heart really saying? I don't understand this stuff. That's what it's saying. But if I have to say it, then I'll say it. How many people walk an aisle? The big churches, they just line up to them. Especially in Catholicism, walking the aisles. Thinking that's going to get them to heaven. Then they walk out the door and they're right back to normalcy. Doing what they always did. Nothing's changed. There's no repentance. Repent and believe. There's no other way. I'll tell you this one thing. In the eyes of God, there are only two kinds of people on this earth. The lost and the found. The lost and the found. Which one are you? If you have any doubt whatsoever, I implore you, make sure today. And I know our numbers are few, but I don't know your hearts. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just want to say briefly that if you believe in the cross and what Jesus did there, sincerely in your heart, There's nothing can keep you out of glory. Nothing. That's the key to it all. But so many people have a problem with that.